Let's turn over to, let's open up this evening's lesson, Hebrews chapter 3. I kind of want to continue from the last time we were together, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. And we're looking at Jesus. You know, there was something that I was sharing this morning in prayer time, that if you look at Jesus, all that God, well, let me say it another way. We're in Hebrews. Why don't you go over to, you keep your finger there in Hebrews 1, but let's just back up to Hebrews chapter pages thin. Chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. It said, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, or various manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power of his word, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so better, much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus has a name that's been inherited. When did he inherit that name? When he paid the price for sin and was raised from the dead. He inherited that name. And so Jesus has a name that's greater and above every other name. At the name of Jesus, sickness has to flee. Demons have to flee. All power in heaven and earth is in that name. Everything that God is, what does the scripture say? The fullness of the Godhead bodily is in him. So if it's in him, then the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in the name. So when we speak the name, things have to change. Things have to move. So that's why when we look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, when it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Or, you know, I'm going to read another translation, but it says, consider who? The apostle and high priest of our profession, or you could say confession, Christ Jesus. So this, the New International, I kind of like this translation also, the New International Version. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. That's what Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who? The author and finisher of our faith. Or, you know, some translators say the author and perfecter of our faith. He watches over us. And so it's important when we talk about fixing our attention on Jesus. If I'm fixing my attention on him, and he's the apostle and high priest over our profession, then he's watching over his word. And to say that this word profession is homologia, it just means to confess the same thing. Say the same thing that he said. He is the word. We're to say what he said. And so if he watches over his word, then I'm to say the same thing. I'm to confess or to profess the same thing that he says. If he says that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, then that's what I should say. That, and he'll watch over that to perfect that in my life. You know what I'm saying when I say that? He's the author and finisher of my faith, or the perfecter of my faith. He's going to watch over that. He's going to watch over the words that I say that are his words. I'm just going to share again some of these statements that F.F. Bosworth made in his book, Christ the Healer. And he made this statement. He said, regarding the word confession, this is what he wrote. He said, it means to believe and say what God says about our sins, our sicknesses, and everything else included in our redemption. So when we confess something, we're to say what he says. What does he say about sin, pertaining to me? It says, Christ hath not only just redeemed me, but let's turn over just a moment, since we're talking about that. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. And 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was where? In Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, he's not holding those sins against us now. And hath done what? It says, committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You didn't know that. Well, now you do, if you didn't. We are ambassadors for Christ. That means we're representatives for him. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be what? Sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that means I need to say that. That's consider him, consider the high priest and apostle and high priest of our profession. I need to say what he has said about sin concerning me, it's been paid for. It doesn't pertain to me. Don't let Satan put on you what you've been redeemed from or accuse you of something that you've been set free from. Don't let him do that. So he goes on to say, he said here, confession is an affirmation. You're affirming an affirmation of a Bible truth we have embraced. Confession is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. So that just to me is powerful. So that's what it says. Confession is an affirmation of a Bible truth we have embraced. Confession is simply believing with our hearts and repeating with our lips God's own declaration of what we are in Christ. He calls us new creatures in Christ. That needs to be our confession. I'm a brand new creature in Christ. If he says in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law, then that needs to be my profession. And that needs to be, when we talk about a confession, a truth that I've embraced and I've taken hold of, you see. The Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes ye were healed. We are to believe and say the same thing, that by his stripes I have been healed. When our affirmation, and this is what he's right, I'm just quoting a few sentences. When our affirmation is the word of God, he watches over it to make it good. So confession, see, when we talk about faith in James, faith without an action, faith without a corresponding action is dead. Well, one action would be that you are moved or propelled or persuaded to say something. So if you are in faith, that means I'm moved or persuaded to confess what I believe. And that's what faith is. I confess what I believe. I say what I believe. I'm acting out of my heart. That's what it says. Confession is faith's way of expressing itself. Faith, if it's true faith, it's going to express itself. It's going to say something, positive or negative. You could have faith in something negative and say something. Or you could have faith in something positive or the word of God and say something. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Mark Hankins quoted something a number of years ago. He said the word of God was spoken before it was written, and it was written so that it could be spoken. It's a good point. The word of God was spoken before it was written, and it was written so that it could be spoken. And let's take a look at Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. So there can be no, without belief in the heart and confession of the mouth, there can be no salvation and there can be no healing. It has to be believed in the heart and spoken, professed, meaning I believe that the healing power of God is working in me. I believe that the power of God is working in my behalf. We all did that. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you believed in your heart that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. And you believed that and confessed it with your mouth, and that caused the power of God to go into operation and be released to change your heart. So Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, where? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is what? The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that word is soteria. That's the Greek word for salvation. And that just means safety, preservation, deliverance, healing. It also means our health. So confessing is saying the same thing that God says. When it says here, with the mouth, confession, saying the same thing God said. We have to say that with the mouth, with our mouth. Amen. No, you know these things, but the more we listen to it and feed upon it, becomes real to us. This is something that E.W. Kenyon wrote, and I don't remember what book he wrote it in. But he wrote this, continual affirmation, or affirming something, continual affirmation has infinite value. Our spiritual life depends upon our constantly affirming what God has declared, what God is in Christ, and what we are before the Father in Christ. So our confession rules us. Just something I wrote down, don't allow your confession to destroy the effectiveness of God's word. Don't allow your confession to destroy or hinder the effectiveness of God's word. Now, this is something out of F.F. Bosworth's book. He wrote on confession and some things about it, just a few sentences here, but he said, we never rise above our confession, is what he said. Now, he's talking about healing in general, but he just had a chapter on confession. In this regard, he said, you never rise above your confession. A negative confession will lower us to the level of that confession. It is what we confess with our lips that really control us. When we doubt his word, it is because we believe something else that is contrary to that word, which is Proverbs 6:2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So we can be snared or taken with the words of our mouth, and it can impact us or affect us. 1 Peter 4:11. Why don't you turn over there for a moment. 1 Peter 4:11. Just talking about speaking and confessing and saying things. What is it that you should say? 1 Peter 4:11. Says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So that's, in another way, you could say, we should be saying what God says. So if we're going to speak, we need to speak what he says. Say what he says. He watches over his word to perform it. Now this is, you know, there's some... Let me just make some thoughts here, or express some thoughts. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I know we've said this so many times, but I like to just repeat it. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have faith, the God kind of faith, you can't have faith unless you know someone's willing to provide that. Now we know healing was provided, salvation was provided in the redemptive work of Christ. So appropriating faith, and we say appropriating something, that means I take something. Or appropriating faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. So when we appropriate faith, when I take something, it's not just that God can, but that God will do it. Until a person knows God's will, they have no basis for faith. Unless you know God's will, you have no basis for faith. Because otherwise, you're not convinced that it's his will. It may be, it may not be. I'm not sure. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. So there has to be. What does 1 John 5:14 and 15 say? It says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So that to me is, that's not maybe he can't. No, that means I had to know his will, present it to him, and believe that I received it, and it's done. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Them would be healing. So here's a thought to consider. If it's God's will to heal only some needing healing, then none have any basis for faith unless they have a special revelation that they are among the ones that are to receive healing. Does everybody understand that? If he only healed some, then none have a basis for faith. Because how would you know you were one of the some that would get healing? How would you know? You wouldn't know. So that's why when you look through Jesus' ministry, all that came to him were healed. All, A-L-L. And it had to be, this is the statement that we're making. F.F. Bosworth made this statement in his book on Christ the Healer. He said, let me just back up before I make this statement. Let's look at Matthew 8:17. So we can get the context of this statement he's making. Matthew 8:17 is really referencing Isaiah 53:4-5. But let's look at Matthew 8:17, which is referencing Isaiah. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So now here's what he writes, this sentence or two here, he writes in his book, Christ the Healer. Since it is our infirmities he bore, it requires the healing of all to fulfill this prophecy. He didn't heal just some. He bore, it says here, he took our infirmities. Well, for you to have faith, how would you know if you were part of the hour unless he did all? How would you know? You wouldn't know. You'd have to believe from the scriptures. If you just read our and you said, well, he took our infirmities, somebody could say, well, maybe I wasn't one of them. You know, people can write, can make stuff up in scripture and say, well, maybe we weren't one of those our, and maybe he didn't look kindly on me, right? But in order for him to have taken our infirmities and our sicknesses, all had to be healed. In order for that prophecy to be fulfilled, which means it was a complete redemption. Otherwise, if it was for some, it wouldn't have been. Right? So this is what he writes, continuing here. He said, God put this in such language that we would have to misquote it to leave ourselves out, which is true. You'd have to misquote that to leave yourself out of that promise. So in order to have steadfast faith for the healing of your body, you must get rid of all uncertainty concerning God's will to heal your body. See? God's word is medicine, and medicine will heal you, will make you whole. God's word is for everybody, and his will is to heal everybody. Because he took our infirmities, and he took our sicknesses. So if his word is for everybody, then healing is for everybody. Otherwise, if his word is not for everybody, then healing's not for everybody. But his word, the word of God, is for everybody. If healing is not for everybody, then his word is not for everybody. And we know that's not true. The scripture said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them. So he healed all. Had to have healed all. Let me just read this Psalm 103. Let's turn over there and read that for a moment. Psalm 103 and verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So just like F.F. Bosworth said, you'd have to misquote the scriptures to make you not be a part of it or apply to you. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I think it's important, you know, that one of the things that we need to keep in mind, and I guess that it's become clear to me, that if we continue to keep speaking the word of God, keep confessing the word of God, keep listening to it, keep speaking it, that your body will ultimately, the effect of the word of God will have on us will be that you'll walk in divine health. And when I say divine health, what I mean is God will direct us in our own personal lives. I saw something by a minister. He's a Rhema graduate. He's down in Jonesboro. But he said something. Let me just read this. I thought it was, and God uses him mightily in the area of healing. Just the gifts of the Spirit operating through him. Young guy. And you know, I think more and more, this is what he said. I know, that's something else he said. Same thing. Same thing. Did I bookmark that? Hold on a second. Maybe I didn't. Well, I'll kind of paraphrase what he said. He said if Christians would change their diet or watch what they eat, we wouldn't need to have the miracles that we need from God. And I said, yeah, absolutely true. A lot of us are not managing properly our bodies, and then we need a miracle. When in fact, if we would manage our bodies properly, if we would confess the word and begin to speak the word of God, the Holy Ghost will then get, when we speak the word of God, it gets God to do what? Watch over his word to perform it. So if we're doing something in the natural that will not help bring to pass what we're confessing, then God will get in the mix of that and say, don't do that anymore. Don't do that. See, because you're confessing one thing, but then you're doing something else that conflicts with that. Does everybody understand that? You're saying, oh, I believe God, you know, my body operates properly, it's healed and whole, and then you're doing something in your diet, it's like hitting your body with a hammer. And God is saying, don't do that. He knows that. Don't eat that anymore. Do this, make this adjustment. And you go, not me, I like that. I eat that kind of food. You know how we do. I like that. I'm not going to get into it because it'll just stir stuff up. But you understand what I'm saying. I heard people say, you know, I'm this ethnicity. We eat this kind of food. I said, well, good, then you can eat it. You can eat it all you want and end up going to the doctor. You know, God gives us a free will and a choice to do what we want to do. You know, I remember years ago here, thank God he's in heaven, but he lived a life at the end of his life with a lot of health issues. And I remember after we went to, you know, like a house kind of a refreshment after we did one of the productions with Pastor Clinton here. I think it was Mercy or something like that. And they had something at their house. And it was a, you know, just come over. And it was a lot of people from the church here. And this is what he said. And it made me shudder. He said, I eat what I want, when I want, and how much I want. And he said it bold. He said, I eat what I want, when I want, blah, blah, blah. And he reaped what he sowed. Oh, he did. He reaped it. Yeah, you can be big and bold, but it's not. But you're not being a good steward over your body. And God is saying, I put you in charge over your body. Manage it properly. Now, a lot of times we don't know. Now, that's why I say in F.F. Bosworth's book, I don't mean to get off on diet. If anybody needs it, I'm not stepping on your toes personally, because we all need it. We need to watch what we do and eat. You know, I was talking to somebody recently. I said, you know, 20 years ago, I cut soda out of my diet. I'm not trying to get on. If you drink soda, go right ahead. But 20 years ago, I cut it out of my diet. I won't touch it. And it wasn't something God told me to do. I just cut it out. I just said, no. If you just read the ingredients, you can't even pronounce what's on the thing. So I was like, why would I drink it? You know, I found afterwards, you know, Deacon Esmond here, who works in the ministry, he used to work for Pepsi. And he said they used to deliver the concentrate, you know, the stuff that's in concentrated form in barrels. You know how they deliver that? With hazmat signs. If it gets out, it'll kill you. Quick, dead. They have to bring hazmat crews in to clean it up. This is the concentrate that they dilute down that you stick in your mouth. I'm like, no. Why would I want to drink that? So I just made some choices in life that I just said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to drink some things that are more healthy for the body. And I'm not trying to get over in the ditch with some of this stuff, but I think some of us sometimes do things to our bodies that we've reaped. Because you will reap what you sow. And it doesn't happen automatically. It's gradually. It's gradually over time. So anyways, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I had a run-in with my body 20 years ago, and I was 6 months from death, and I made a change. And I said, ain't going back that way again. No, I'm not going to get in the ditch over things, because I agree when Dr. Larry Hutton was here. Health food won't heal you. Because he got in a ditch with it. He's like, I'm a health food nut and this and that. And God had to speak to him and said, no, health food won't heal you. My word will heal you. But it doesn't mean that we don't consider what we eat. See, you can get over in the ditch also where that's concerned. So we have to know, we have to understand that God's word will heal us. But it also means that you can violate, and this is where I was kind of, let me get right around here what I was trying to say, was that in F.F. Bosworth's book on Christ the Healer, he has a whole chapter on 21 reasons why Christians don't get healed. And there's a variety of reasons. Unbelief, bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, all those things that we've read about. Number five, right at the top, violating natural laws. And he wrote this book back in the 1800s. Violating natural laws. And so sometimes that's exactly what we're doing. We're violating natural laws. And, you know, I heard it in this ministry for years. Well, we can just eat what we want and pray over it. Go right ahead. So if that's what you do, then get out a bottle of Clorox and pray over it and just drink it. If you can just pray, if you just eat anything you want and pray over it, go right ahead. I heard some of the goofiest things when I was young here in this ministry. People would say, "I'm just going to pray over this bowl of ice cream, cast the calories out of it." Am I serious? I heard it. Some of them are shaking their head. Yeah, we heard it. So you might as well just tell the truth. You just wanted that bowl of ice cream. Please don't get spiritual. Just tell the truth. You just wanted a big bowl of ice cream. Just say, "I wanted the ice cream." I mean, then you want to get spiritual and to make us all think, "Ooh, really? Oh, okay. Now how come your pants don't fit? Or your dress or whatever," right? I mean, it's just silly, isn't it? It's just silly. But we have to manage our bodies properly. We have to, you know, be prayerful. Doesn't mean we have to get in the ditch over things, but, you know, we do have medical science that's proven some things that you can violate some things in the natural. And they're doing the same thing. They're trying to keep us healthy in the natural side. And they're doing the same thing that God is doing, except in the same thing. The focus is healing. And medical science does that. They're trying to heal us from a natural side. Now, this is another statement. I've read this before, but this is a good statement here. Philemon, let's go over there. Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. It's in one chapter, but just verse 6. Philemon 1, 6. You know, it's interesting today, you know, when we talk about food, don't mean to get off on this, but you know what's interesting today about food is that it has been so adulterated that it's not like when our parents grew up and our grandparents grew up. It's happened over the last 30 years. But I've read some stuff in papers and research papers that I'm like, "Ooh, why would whose brilliant idea was that?" I mean, when you just read about what they're doing to beef and different things, I mean, it's unconscionable what they're doing. And I'm just saying you just need to be aware of those things and then make, as we call it, make prayerful choices, make good choices about what you do. What you eat. You'd be surprised. Verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So this is what we're talking about. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. So when we talk about acknowledging every good thing that is in us, we need to confess and say what's been done in us and for us. And E.W. Kenyon wrote this in some writings of his, some of his books. He said this, "The thing that made Methodism so mighty in its early days was a continual confession of the things which Mr. Wesley stood. When they stopped affirming," I love this, what he said. Now, this is somebody that lived through this. He said, when they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing, and believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. Because it wasn't real to them now. They had stepped back. They weren't confessing or affirming the word. It had now kind of gotten a little cold, you see. So it didn't have, it's what he said. When they stopped affirming, faith stopped growing. And believing or acting upon the word became more and more difficult. So the daily affirming of the word of God is important. It's a good habit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, our great high priest, apostle and high priest, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens. Where are we seated? We're seated in heavenly places with him. But he's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And it says, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. The Amplified says, inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. That's acknowledging or affirming every good thing that is in us, our confession. Now let's take a look at this. I want to just look at this real quick in Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to look at this again, Proverbs chapter 4. In verses 20 through 23. And you can follow along. I'm going to read from a few translations, but it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to what? Here's this word all again. All their flesh, not some of their flesh, all. And the reason it's all, because it was a complete healing. A complete deliverance of the body of Christ, the world. So the Amplified, it says in verse 22, it says, for they are life to those that find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Isn't that an interesting way that the Amplified says, healing and health to all their flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Yeah, the complete Jewish translation, it says, for they are life to those that find them and health to their whole being. In the Good News translation, it says, they give life and health to anyone who understands them. You know, I'm thinking about it here, and we'll be going out to Winter Bible Seminar in about a month. And I don't know if we'll see that family there or not, but the Warwick family. But Jesse, that family was here for many years, and then they relocated to that particular area, Tulsa, Broken Arrow area. And Jessica, as a number of them in the family did, went to the Bible Training Center there at Rhema. And Jessica used to wear an insulin pump and she had to wear that because of her pancreas, and it just it required that. Some people may take an aspirator, you know, they take a little spray, or some may take a needle. She had to have a pump, and she wore it all the time. And so she went to the Bible school. And over 2 years, she went to school for 2 years there. And I don't know at the time, you know, I think the healing school is 3 days a week. I think it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But however many days, I believe her dad said she went every day. So when I say every day, that means however many days they were open each day. And she would go to the prayer and healing school. And over the 2 years, when we saw her dad, I said, "How's Jess doing?" He said, "Oh, she's doing great. You know, she graduated from the school, doing great, but all this, you know, just small talking." And he said, "Hey," and he said, "You know what? Her pancreas just started to work. Just started to work. Your pancreas just don't start to reverse and work if you've been wearing a pump all this time to pump insulin into your pancreas." And so she got rid of it, didn't need it anymore. Body didn't require it. And she's still fine today. So the healing power, you know, and this was gradual, right? So it was a gradual healing, but she went and got what? The word regarding healing multiple times a week. And not only that, being in school and hearing the word every day, every day, every day, every day. Not necessarily on healing, but he sent his word and healed them. So there's power in the word of God. And so that constant getting of the word of God delivered her from a pump, an insulin pump. So there's no sickness or disease that can't be corrected. And sometimes, you know, we're trying to figure out how it's supposed to happen, how it's supposed to come to pass. And if we would just take the word, get the word of God in our spirits, and confess the word of God with our mouth, believe it in our heart, and say it with our mouth, that gradually the body will restore itself. Now in that, God may correct us with some things. And I'm saying he may and he may not. He may correct some things we're doing eating-wise, sleeping-wise, exercise-wise, and word-wise. We may be saying some things wrong. We may be saying some things that are not right, not in faith. You know, maybe. So it's getting the word of God, paying attention to it, listening to it, speaking it, and over time, this body will function right. Just will. So we need to do what? What does the scripture say? It says, wherefore, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read it from the New International. You can follow along in whatever yours translation is. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, this is the New International Version, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. So we need to fix our thoughts, fix our words on him, on his word, and he'll watch over it. He'll make it come to pass. He'll make it work in our bodies and cause us to function. I'm convinced, you know, I just am. I'm convinced that if we make natural adjustments, you know, I like what Pastor Hagen says. It's the natural and the spiritual coming together to make an explosive force for God. Now, he's talking about, you know, the operation and power of God, but it's also the same thing. It's us doing something in the natural and God and his word doing something that will impact our spirit And what does it also do? It impacts our body. What does the scripture say? Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that dwells in us. If he dwells in us, then he quickens or gives life, makes alive our mortal bodies. Boy, I tell you, the more and more I think about it, I'm so grateful that God just didn't leave us in this state we're in, because he knew he had to fix this separation between God and man through Christ. But isn't it wonderful to know he knew this man was fallen. The body had sin in it. The body was decaying. But what did he do? He said, okay, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. My life is in you, and it will quicken your mortal bodies. Doesn't mean we're going to live forever, but I'm convinced we don't have to die sick. We don't have to die diseased, because why? Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. I mean, we have too many testimonies. Even Hebrews 11, all through the Old Testament, those old saints would just rest or get in their bed and say goodbye. Off they went to heaven. And so we can. What's impossible for man is possible with God. If we do what? If we believe. Amen. Praise God.